Good morning, and welcome back to the Daily AI Executive Podcast. It's Thursday, July 23rd, and if there's one theme running through today's briefing, it's that AI is graduating from pilot project to line item. We're seeing it in content production budgets, in cloud contracts, and in regulatory compliance calendars.
Right, and that word disclosed keeps popping up in my notes. This isn't companies quietly experimenting anymore. They're telling investors about it.
Exactly. And that changes who owns the conversation. It used to sit with production or legal or IT. Now it's landing on finance's desk because boards want numbers, not anecdotes.
So let's get into it. What's the top story today?
Netflix. In their Q2 shareholder letter, they disclosed that generative AI was used across roughly 300 titles this year. Compare that to just one confirmed production a year ago. Ted Sarandos called out specific examples, a title in India, one in Brazil, one in the US, where AI helped build things like massive crowd scenes and battle sequences.
And they actually quantified the savings?
They did. One sequence in The American Experiment was produced in half the time and at half the cost using AI tools. That's not a vague efficiency claim. That's a specific board reportable number.
Okay, so who actually benefits from this shift?
Streamers and studios with their own IP-safe owned tooling. Netflix has internal systems, anchored by a $600 million acquisition. They capture those savings directly on the P&L. Vendors that supply provenance-tracked, union-compliant AI tools also win.
And the losers?
VFX and animation vendors, freelance crews, anyone billing by the hour for complex shots that AI can now compress. And studios without a controlled internal tooling story are exposed on both rights and disclosure risk.
Interesting that the stock still fell after hours despite this.
Yeah, they beat on EPS but missed revenue. So the disclosure itself is the precedent that matters longer term. So let's zoom out. Why is this the real structural shift, not just a Netflix headline? Think about it from first principles. AI tooling doesn't replace a budget line. It reshapes it. Traditional cost drivers, day rate artists, shot counts, dub studio hours, are now layered with new AI cost drivers. License fees, compute, and provenance or consent overhead. So the savings aren't automatically pure margin. There's a new cost stack underneath. Right. And the net effect on margin depends entirely on whether finance can actually measure that delta. Take localization. AI dubbing across dozens of languages lowers the marginal cost per market, but it adds QC and rights overhead you didn't have before. And there's a revenue side too, not just cost, correct? Exactly. That's the part people miss. Rights holders are starting to license IP directly to AI platforms, voice, likeness, footage, rather than only defending against unauthorized use. Studio equity stakes in AI labs, performer-backed rights registries, this is becoming a genuine monetization category, like merchandising.
So the one-line takeaway for a CEO is basically, this is now a two-sided ledger, cost savings and licensing revenue, and you need to track both.
Precisely. And if finance can't quantify both sides, defending AI ROI to the board becomes guesswork.
So what should commercial finance teams actually do with this, starting Monday morning?
Three things stand out. First, build a distinct AI production savings ledger, cost per finished minute or cost per shot, attributable specifically to AI tooling, separated from ordinary cost inflation. That's what makes disclosure defensible.
Makes sense. Otherwise, you can't tell the board what's AI-driven versus just normal budget variance.
Second, evaluate direct IP licensing to AI platforms as an actual revenue line, but only with contractual provenance and consent guardrails built in from day one.
And the third?
Use the new flash tier model pricing as a benchmark to renegotiate vendor contracts. Google just released Gemini 3.6 Flash at $1.50 in, $7.50 out per million tokens, with better coding performance than the prior tier. Most enterprise AI volume is routine work, tagging, transcript cleanup, ad copy, not frontier reasoning tasks.
So if procurement is still paying flagship model prices for that kind of routine work, they're just overpaying.
overpaying and probably not even realizing it, because contracts were signed before this pricing tier existed. Worth an immediate audit.
Given everything we've covered on cost and revenue, I think the most useful thing left is the regulatory piece. The EU AI Act deadline is genuinely actionable.
Agreed. Quickly then. August 2nd was supposed to be a big compliance cliff. It's now been softened. High-risk system obligations, things like employment and credit scoring AI, are pushed to December 2027.
So companies get breathing room?
For that bucket, yes. But general-purpose AI model obligations, enforcement powers, and content transparency and watermarking rules are still live, with watermarking only trimmed to this December, 2026.
So the mistake would be treating the whole act as postponed.
Exactly. And that's a real trap for media and advertising businesses distributing AI-assisted content into the EU. Fines are still up to 35 million euros, or 7% of global turnover for the parts that weren't delayed. Segment your use cases. Don't assume a blanket delay.
Great. Actionable stuff across the board today. Production economics, vendor pricing, and regulation.
That's the shape of it, and that's what we've got time for today. But the full briefing has plenty more. A second look at Deezer's AI-generated upload numbers, our AI tool of the day on Anthropic's Claude Cowork, the Stanford HAI AI Index paper, plus today's skill of the day on model routing.
All in the newsletter, so go check that out for the rest.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.